The Illuminating Fire in Me. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capo, California, with Instant Illumination. The Illuminating Fire in Me. What is the Illuminating Fire in me, in all of us? The Illuminating Fire in each one of us is that aspect of our being that feels very good about ourselves. We feel very comfortable with ourselves, and we feel very harmonious with ourselves. The illuminating fire in each one of us is that attitude that says, all is in divine order, all is peace, all is harmony, all is love, all is right action, all is truth. The illuminating fire is not something we ignite. It's not something we put into practice or get going. The illuminating fire in us is how we recognize that it is already there. The illuminating fire in us is always there, was always there, will always be there, can never not be there. But how do we use it? How do we use the illuminating fire in us to accomplish the goals that we have set for ourselves in our life? Now, we can have various modules of awareness, the module of being human, the module of being divine, the module of being absolute, the module of being the allness, the isness. You say, are they all different? Well, they're really not different, but we limit them. We limit them by how we define what the module contains. The module of a human being contains all those five senses, and it sort of gives us an idea of who and what we are, how we live on this planet Earth, how we express on this planet, how we carry out our activities in our life and our world. Now, the other one we might say, we're divine. Now, what is being divine? We think we know what being divine is, but we really are quite unconscious of what divine is. Divine is not what we think it is. Divine is not something we can make happen. It's not something we can call forth. It's something that is. Now, when we recognize and direct our life from the understanding of what divine is, then all things that we ever dream about in the absolute or in the humanity and the humanness, all things that we dream about are done. They're not to be done. They're not something we're going to be aware of. They're something that are already done. Now, you say, well, if we're not aware of it, then for us it seemingly is not done. And that perhaps is true. But we cannot be unaware of it, because it is us. We cannot be aware of it because it is us. We cannot seek to understand it and seek to be aware of it. We cannot seek to put it into motion in our life because it already is there. It's just like the gasoline of a car. You put gasoline in the gas tank of the car. Now, it's there. That the car does not use it, or that the car does use it, depends on the idea of whether you use your car or you don't. If you don't use the gasoline in your car, if you don't use your car and put it to work and have it do things for you, then it's still there. And it's still there in all of its perfection and all of its potential and all of its practicality. It's still there. Now, that you may not use it, and that means not that you may not use it, but that you do not use it, is more a matter of how you define who you are. Okay, you define yourself as an automobile, and you define yourself as an automobile that has a gas tank, and you define yourself as an automobile that does not have a perpetual flow of petrol, of gas, in your car. You define yourself as an automobile that must go to the service station and have gas pumped into the tank of the car so that the car can function. Now, in fact, and in reality, the tank is a symbol, and it has nothing to do with reality. It has nothing to do with whether you have gas or don't have gas. It's just a symbol. It's a symbol that you have the capacity to utilize that tank, even when that tank might appear to your human self as being empty. Now, the tank is always there. The symbol is always there. It is always full. It always is and has what it is. It is designed to have gasoline in it, and it's designed to give this gasoline to the operation of the engine, and it is a never-ending source. Now, where do you define the engine? Well, you're going to wear out the engine. Well, you're going to wear it out if that's what you think. But if you think that the engine is made of material that is everlasting, if its engine is made of material that does not wear out, then it does not wear out. But it wears out if you think it wears out. Now you say, well, I don't even think about something wearing out and it wears out. Well, you do think about something wearing out and it wears out. You do think about life. You do think that things are whatever you determine them to be. Now, if you say, the gas tank is my source of petrol, my source of energy, and I must fill it when it gets empty, then your gas tank is the source, and you must fill it when it gets empty. Now, if you say, this symbol is the source of my energy, and the symbol is never empty, the symbol is always full, the symbol is always there with its ideal substance to carry out the activity which the symbol represents. Now, if you want to think of a symbol of an empty gas tank, then for you, the gas tank will be empty. If you want to have the symbol of a full gas tank, that it's always there, ready to go, it's never ending. We saw this one movie one time where the bottle of wine was always filled. Some angel had filled it for this man. And every time he went to get a glass of wine, the bottle was always full. And it was never empty. Now, how can that be? Well, it's just a joke. It's just what we would say an angel could do, some being that is enlightened or something like that, that they can do it. Well, why do we say that? Why do we say it? Why do we say that the bottle of wine ever has to be empty or ever has to be full? Why do we say that the bottle is an action or a symbol of something that is to be filled? That's our creation of it. Now, if we divine a beautiful car, and this car takes us wherever we want to go, it does not need tires. Well, then it's really not a car. It does not need gasoline. It's really not a car. It does not need an engine. It's really not a car. It does not need anything at all. It's just a couple of seats sitting inside of a metal box that floats around wherever we want it to go. Well, hey, isn't that what a car really is? Just a metal box with a couple of seats that takes us wherever we want to go? Yes, it is just that. It is just that. Now, is that what we want to have? And the answer is yes. That's what we want to have. We want to have this thing that takes us where we want to go and that is always functioning, whatever its ideal function is. It's always carrying out whatever its ideal function is to be carried out. Now, what do we want it to be carried out as? Do we want it to be carried out as something that has to be refilled? Something that just is whatever it is, and we have to load it up? Well, if that's what we care about, if that's how we think about it, then that's how it'll be. Now, it can be whatever we want it to be, and it'll be whatever we choose to have it be, because it is our reflection. It is our reflection, however we think about it. Now, if we think about a car, and we define what a car is to take us where we want to go, then a car does not have to do anything. Now, in some cities in the world, they now have vehicles that are public transportation vehicles. They're little cubicles. They're little vehicles that seat two or three people. And you get in there, and then you plug in to the vehicle. You want to go to a certain place, and that's it. And so the vehicle takes you there, and all you do is sit and watch a movie or read a magazine or just meditate. And when you get there, the vehicle stops, opens its door, and lets you out, and you get out. And you did not have to be concerned about the traffic. You did not have to be concerned about the locomotion. You did not have to be concerned about anything, even where you're going. You merely tell it where you want to go, and it takes you there. And it takes you there on a ribbon of steel, and it has its program that takes you there. It has no near accidents. It has no near hits. It is always perfectly aligned to do its ideal job of taking you where you want to go. Now, they exist. Those vehicles exist. And there are other vehicles that exist which listen to your thought. When you get in there, you say your name. You say Herbert. And then the vehicle adjusts the seats for Herbert. You say Ellen. And the vehicle adjusts its seats for Ellen. You say Sylvia. And the temperature within the car adjusts itself for Sylvia. And you say Ingeborg. And the seat adjusts itself in a semi-reclining situation where she just sits back in the lap of luxury, enjoying the ride with not a care in the world. Now, these type of vehicles already exist. And it's just a step or two from the point where we say, I want to be in my office downtown. And zip, we're there. No vehicle needed. It's just a thought that moves us there. And the thought moves us there in its absolute perfection, in its absolute magnificence. It's the action of the illuminating fire within me that gets me ready to enjoy these fantastic experiences. Now, these fantastic experiences are not outrageous for the scientists. They're not outrageous for the designers of vehicles. They're not outrageous for the automobile industry. They're not outrageous at all. They're only a little bit outrageous to us. We think, how can that ever be? And how it can ever be is through the simplicity of just being whatever our thought wants it to be. We have that illuminating fire within us that is ready to do whatever we choose to have it do. But we have to have within us also that creative, illuminating imagination that says everything is possible. Not that it's possible. It already exists. If it's possible, it means it might not yet exist. But everything already exists. Everything already is. Now, that's on a pretty high level of consciousness. And when we start thinking on that high level of consciousness, and we remain true to that high level of consciousness, we come up with some pretty exciting, pretty illuminating concepts of who we are, what we are, where we're going, why we're going there, and what it's all about. Are you ready? Are you ready for that illuminating experience? Are you ready for that illuminating fire in you to express itself in its most magnificent, most fantastic way? Are you ready? If you're ready, then you can be sure it is ready for you. Now, think how you might do it. Think how you might just daydream. And in your daydream, it happens. In your daydream, it's done. In your daydream, the whole thing is already complete. The whole thing is manifest right now. In your daydream, there's nothing more to be done. Yes, that's true. There is nothing more to be done. Think it, and it is so. Visualize it, and it is so. You don't even have to visualize it. To visualize it means you have to have some vague idea of what sort of thing you're thinking. And if you're thinking, your thinking can be so abstract, so obtuse, so glorious, that your thought can't even keep up with how magnificent it is. So I say to you, and I say to me, and I know I do it now already, and you can do it now already too. Let the illuminating fire in you reveal to you the magic of who you are right now. And then know that it's done. Okay? Know, I love you. I love you. I love you.